to it. Amen. We've got a great message for you today. Stir you up. You even got you something pretty to look at today, too. Amen. Praise God. Pray with me. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart, I open my ears, and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for all that you have for me right now in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, ministering to us right where we're at. Lord, I just thank you that as the word goes forth today, Lord, let it electrify our hearing, our spiritual hearing. Lord, so that we realize how important our perspective of you really is. And Lord, we just thank you for that right now. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Turn around, give your neighbor a high five, and you can be seated. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I hope you all have a note page today because you're going to want it. You need to have it. I'm going to share a lot of things, but I want to make sure you have that note page because it'll help you be in tune with what we're talking about today. I think on Monday for the word of encouragement, I shared some things that the Lord laid on my heart about perspective. But this morning, I wanted to take it a step further and just share with you about perspective. How many of you know it's important that your perspective revolves around faith? Yeah. Amen. How you see things. This photo here is a great perspective picture. It's a staircase, and it's a little blurry, actually, but from that distance, you can't tell. So, but you can see that staircase. That kind of photo always mesmerizes me. And anytime we're somewhere in public or some historical building, I will look for staircases like that to take a picture. And I love to take pictures. I do. I think I was figuring it up the other day. I think there's over 200,000 pictures on my computers and hard drives, maybe more. And when the new iPhone came out with the extra camera lenses and all of that, it's better than a regular film camera. You can do some things that's just unimaginable, and it's just incredible what you can do with your phone these days. But I wanted to take you on a little tour for a minute. I went yesterday, and I picked out photos that I had taken, because I love art, okay? I do. I love art. My idea of the perfect vacation would be to walk through a museum all the time. I wish when we went to France I could have spent a week at the Louvre. I think that would have been incredible. I like looking at paintings. I like seeing Rembrandt. I like seeing Monet. I love seeing things by Da Vinci, which we saw a lot of things at the Louvre and when we were in Paris. But I find it overwhelming. You know, walking through chapels of churches that were built way before you and I ever thought about, churches that were built in the year 700. There's a depth of history that I think is inspiring and awe-striking. Castles, chapels. I love sitting on the beach in the quiet because it gives your mind stillness. Now, don't get me wrong. We've loved amusement parks, but a thrill ride is fleeting. But there's something powerful when you stand on a cobblestone street and you realize that Napoleon marched on these streets as a conqueror. Or you realize tyrants marched on these streets with their armies. And you pause. I remember standing when we were in Tallinn recently, standing on the street in the old city, and the Nazis rolled through that part of town. Their troops were everywhere. A lot of people died, and a lot of that's not talked about. And it's an amazing thing. When I stopped in the middle of the street just for a minute to take it in, and you know, and it's good. It's really therapeutic for you if you stop and take a deep breath and hold it for 10 seconds and count it slow. 1, 2, 3. And then you exhale when you get to 10. and close your eyes while you're doing it and realize how good God is. But when I stood on that street, I thought about who marched here. But then I remembered, thank God for the liberators that came and brought freedom. Can you say amen? There's all sorts of places like that in this world. Freedom is important. If we lose perspective of our history and what it means to each of us, we'll lose our current reality in which we live in. Can I say that again? You ought to write that one down. That's Pastor James's Philosophy 101, page 29. We must never lose the perspective of history and what it means to us, or we will lose our current reality in which we live. You know, perspective is everything. Perspective is everything. Amen. This is a picture. Jim knows what this is. What is this, Jim? Yeah, it's the game, the train game. Yeah, Ticket to Ride. Everybody, if you never played Ticket to Ride, it's a lot of fun. We get intense at our house when we play Ticket to Ride. Trying to get all your routes to go across the country. And that's the thing. Eric, you back there? Eric likes to get continuous. He thinks that's a real important goal, and it is. But, you know, the more routes you can acquire, the better your score. And I took this picture because it shows perspective. I laid my phone down on the table to take this picture. This is a picture, and it shows perspective, too. The line's going towards the ocean, and you can't tell, but William's up in front there, and then Thomas and different ones. We were at Gulfport, I think, where this was taken. But this was at the Gulf several years ago. This next one is at the USS Alabama. That's a pretty good-looking picture to me. I like that shot. You know, something powerful when you run through that ship and realize these 18, 19-year-old boys were running up and down these ladders and things getting through this ship, and they're tight. It is tight. And there's such an awe and respect for the sacrifices that were made to defend our freedom. Those guns are huge. And you don't realize how big they are. We took a family picture up on this particular place with the camera focused back on the battleship itself. It's an incredible shot, but this shows perspective, the way the lines go and all of that. And I was going to read this to you too. You know, perspective art is a technique used to create illusion of three-dimensional depth and space on a flat or two-dimensional surface. We're talking about paintings here. The primary types are linear and perspective, atmospheric perspective, and having that point of view. In photography, when you see the lines, you look for it, and it's just an amazing sight. I love this kind of stuff, so bear with me. I took this picture at the Tennessee Valley Railroad Museum down in Chattanooga, and I like this. This shows perspective with the lines of the train and the pathway here where the gravel is. To me, that's a lot of fun. And I love going to the Chattanooga and riding the trains. Trains are important in life. Amen. And so much history with trains and how America's economy changed because of the railroad. Amen. And I love these pictures here. The one here is in Estonia. I showed you this a couple weeks ago. They've redone all of this. They took the stones up. They're going to replace them with the original stones real soon. And this place, this walkway, and some of these buildings are so old, they date back to the 1790s and beyond. And it's just an incredible place. And you walk through there, the trees and all the air, as you go back into the old city, all the cobblestone. And again, the Nazis marched through all of here, shot and killed people, took over. But thank God for freedom. Over here on this side, the top picture is in color. The bottom picture, I did some adjustments to it. But this is the highway. It's a two-lane highway, and this is when we drove to the Little Bighorn. We drove forever, and we wish we'd went to the bathroom before we went to go drive forever. And we looked and looked for the bathroom. Melissa's laughing. But this was a cool shot, I thought, and it showed perspective, the lines of the highway, all of that. It was really neat. We took pictures in front of signs and all of that. This picture was our recent trip down to Miramar Beach, and this was a restaurant in the courtyard, and the lines of the railing, the lines of the fence, the post being in line. That shows perspective, okay? How you look at things. When I walked out the door, it had just rained. I thought, man, that's a good shot. So I pulled my phone out. Melissa went back in to get the umbrella, and I snapped a couple shots, but this was my favorite one. Amen. This is Deadwood, South Dakota. And Deadwood is an old town, dates back to forever, old cowboy town. We ate that big tall building here with the multicolored lights. We ate at a restaurant on the top floor that the Sulzbacks, children's pastor in Cleveland, Tennessee, Gary's sister was a server there. And we had to walk through the casino downstairs just to get to the restaurant, but the food was outstanding. But this street, you know, cowboys walked here. They did cattle, ran cattle through these streets going to sell the cattle. Real cowboy town, really incredible sight, but that shows perspective. This, guess what this is? This is here in this room. And Josh Tucker, man, I miss Josh and Kristen, don't you all too? Josh and Kristen, if you're watching, the Lord told me to tell you today, don't be weary in your well-doing because there's greater things on the horizon. And maintain your grip on the plow that God called you to push. And don't quit, because His best is coming. Amen. Well, this picture, Josh and Pastor Matthew were, after they'd ground the floor in here, they took a leaf blower and they were blowing out all this concrete dust. And I think, did you take this picture or did I take it? Don't remember, but I remember driving up here and watching Josh. He had this mask on. He looked like some Muslim terrorist walking through the building. And all this billowing dust was going. I thought, boy, that's a great-looking picture. To me, it's like the glory of God falling on this place. Amen. That shows perspective. This is in France. We are across, if you're standing here, the Eiffel Tower is directly looking that way. And I took this picture from the color one, and I made it black and white to really show the perspective. Because I think that's kind of neat. That bridge has been there forever. I don't know how old it is, but it's old. Old. However long the metro's been running, that bridge dates back that far. And it's really something to see in person. And then this right here, we walked to a riverboat cruise in France, in Paris, and we went on a dinner cruise. And walking back that night, I saw this, and I had everybody stop, and I snapped a bunch of pictures, and I thought, man, that's a great shot. And it really shows perspective. And then I took it, and I made it black and white. And to me, that's just an incredible picture. I'd really like to get that. To send that to Shutterfly and get that framed. I mean, I love that look. Then maybe this bores you, but this stuff just gets my crank going, okay? And it has a lot to do with the message. Remember the stairs? Well, these are my pictures of the stairs, and we were in the Arch de Triomphe and climbing up those stairs. I had to stop at one point because at that time that tumor was in my back. Didn't know it was at the tumor at that time. But I hurt so bad I could hardly get up the steps after a while. We'd walked so much, and I had to stop. But when I looked up, I thought, wow, look at that shot there. So I took a picture looking straight up, and then I held my camera out like this and took another picture going straight down. And to me, that's just really neat. That shows perspective. And this is the gardens, Luxembourg Gardens. I laid the camera down on the marble area there just to get a shot. This isn't the whole photograph. It actually goes all the way back. And I love walking at times and seeing any kind of water where you can see reflection. Because there's so much you can do with that when you're editing. And it's just really beautiful, isn't it? And I think Pastor Matthew and Donna and all of them got the same kind of shot. That place is so beautiful and really something. Been there forever. Amen. And then this one here, we went to Mont Saint-Michel. And if you ever get a chance to go to Normandy and to go and see the church that's on like an island all by itself, this place was started, they started construction in the year 700. And you had to pass a test for 1 year to prove you were a dedicated Christian before they let you work on the project. They tested you to see that you were holy, that you loved God. And it really ministered. The workers felt a calling by the Lord to be there. But this is in the chapel at the top of the hill. And it's incredible. And this is looking at it from... holding the camera at an angle up, all the detail, the intricacies. They hauled all this stuff up there, and they cut these stones by hand. Isn't that something? And it's beautiful. And then this here is the part where the priests and monks will actually walk. This is where you go into and you do that vow of silence, and you walk in quiet, peaceful. That whole area, you're not really allowed to make loud noises, although there were some children running, because it's still an active monastery. But if you're walking through there, it's all striking. And this is that same picture in black and white. And that shows perspective. This is the United States Memorial for World War II. At Normandy. Walking through there was probably the most moving thing I think I've ever experienced. I walked through the American cemetery in Manila, and that one was pretty intense. But this is incredible, especially if you overlook Omaha Beach. I'd have gave anything to go walk the beach, but we just didn't have the time. And looking at all the different writings on the walls, the different soldiers that are represented there, the different states, the different regiments, all the different things. It is absolutely awe-striking. These are the graves. I have a lot of pictures of the graves. When you see all the crosses lined up, it just really gets you. It affects you. This is another chapel in Dunyet. Is that the name of it? Where we got the crepes, where the saxophone guy is. They created the saxophone, this guy did in this town. I don't remember the name of it, but this is a chapel at the top of the hill up there where soldiers would pray and all the intricacy in that. Well, there's a lot of pictures like that, really cool. This is Circus. Piccadilly Circus in London. Melissa and I were there at night. We went to eat that night. And when we left the restaurant we were at, forgot the name of it, but we walked down through and Lego stores, a huge James Bond 007 car made completely out of Legos. It was incredible. Big Ben made out of Legos, as tall as you could stand. But this was a really cool place. So busy, so full of life. This is a hunting lodge in Belgium. We drove to Bastogne to go see Bastogne itself because of the Band of Brothers episodes. I wanted to see that. But this is in the top area of this hunting lodge, and these timbers are huge, and they're all hand cut and chiseled out, and there's pins and bolts that have been, bolts were put in later, but wooden pins is what, and you can see some of them here, the wooden pins is what held it all together. And it's really beautiful when you see it in person. And then this is at that same hunting lodge. If you saw our Christmas card with Melissa and I sitting on a wall out in front, this is the back porch area of that big hunting lodge. And it's beautiful. It was a nice day. It had rained and everything was kind of wet, so the photograph came out really pretty. And I really thought it was great. All of this is, again, showing perspective. And this is looking into the courtyard from the outside. And we crossed a moat to get to it. A real moat. And I like this because it shows perspective, because how many of you know you're double blessed? Amen? I looked hard to find a second cup that said blessed. And when I found it, I had to take a picture of it. Because praise God for His blessings, right? Are you thankful for His blessings? Amen. You say, Pastor, what's this got to do with the message? Listen, it's coming. Amen. Here's another perspective. I watched a movie this week called Pressure. Have y'all ever seen that yet? Brandon Fraser in it. The movie is about Eisenhower, but it's really not. It's about the meteorologist. It's really powerful. If you get a chance to watch it, it shows perspective. Because if it hadn't been for the meteorologist, D-Day wouldn't have happened. It would have been a catastrophe. And it was the meteorologist who made the day. And you got to see it. It's really powerful. But everybody knows this. I like Ike, right? This is Dwight Eisenhower. He's president of the United States, and his wife, Mimi. But I wanted to read you this story before I get into the guts of the message today real quick. On a freezing December morning in 1957, Dwight Eisenhower was reviewing budget proposals when his secretary nervously informed him that a 73-year-old woman named Mrs. Eleanor Mitchell from Abilene, Texas, his childhood Sunday school teacher, was in the White House lobby and asking to see him without an appointment. And instead of having the staff politely redirect her, Eisenhower literally jumped up, ran down the hallway, stopped everything he was doing, swept this elderly woman into his huge arms and gave her the great big bear hug. And he went and told his secretary, holding her hand, taking her down the hall, he said, "You clear my afternoon." He kicked everybody out of his office, and he spent the whole day having tea with her in his personal residence. Now, what makes this moment breathtakingly beautiful is that Mrs. Mitchell had taught a scrappy young Dwight Eisenhower Bible verses every Sunday from 1907 to 1911 in a tiny church basement, making him memorize Proverbs and Psalms when he'd rather be playing baseball. And she'd written him letters throughout his military career, through both world conflicts, World War I and World War II. And through his rise to Supreme Commander, she sent multiple letters. And through the election, when he became president, she sent multiple letters. And she always addressed him simply as Dwight. And reminding him this, that character matters more than rank. Eisenhower told his staff that Mrs. Mitchell once made him apologize to the entire Sunday school class for being prideful, after he bragged about winning the spelling bee. She taught him humility, a lesson that shaped his entire leadership philosophy. And he never forgot how she pulled him aside afterward and said, "Dwight," I believe she heard from the Holy Ghost, "Dwight, you're going to do important things someday, but never let success make you forget where you came from or who helped you along the way." During their White House tea, Eisenhower introduced Mrs. Mitchell to every cabinet member in the White House, saying with genuine reverence, "This woman taught me everything that matters. Respect this lady." And she gently scolded him for not attending church regularly, which made the most powerful man in the world laugh and promise to do better. When Mrs. Mitchell left that evening, Eisenhower walked her personally to her taxi, and he kissed her on the cheek And he pressed an envelope into her hand, and it contained a check for the church with a note: "For the place that built my foundation, thank you for seeing potential in a troublemaker farm boy. Your student always, Dwight." What absolutely gets you is understanding that Eisenhower commanded armies and led nations, but he never forgot his Sunday school teacher, who taught him the true strength was moral courage, proving that the greatest leaders never outgrow gratitude, and that honoring people who shaped your life when nobody knew your name is the most presidential and important thing that anybody could ever do. That's perspective. You know, the Bible tells us, folks, that we should have perspective in a lot of different ways. And I use pictures to tell some stories, but I want you to look with me today at the screen. If you have your Bible, you can turn to them. But I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, "Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in you and through you. Not only is the Lord always with you, but His explosive power is flowing in and through you." Folks, that's the faith perspective. And that faith perspective focuses on His power that's within you. You should have that perspective. You know, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, we read where Paul told the church in Colossians, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I think too much our perspective is drawn to the world and to things and to our flesh and how we feel, what we want, what we need. A lot of times we tend to place those things above our time with the Lord, our presence with God, because greater perspective is when we spend more time with the Master. You see things. Standing on a cobblestone street in different parts of Europe and realizing that conquerors walked here, going to where Napoleon, where Waterloo was, and walking on that battlefield and realizing as we drove a car, we were driving across really sacred ground where many, many, many soldiers died. Going through the museum and seeing unearthed bones of soldiers that they recently found when they built the underground museums because they didn't want to disturb the battlefield. That was moving. But God is telling you and me that we should set our minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. The Amplified Bible reads, "And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth." But boy, we sure get consumed with earthly things, don't we? Come on, somebody say amen or oh me. And we do. We get consumed with everything that's happening, and we lose sight of the one who wants your attention more than anything, because He's the one you're going to spend eternity with. You need to know Him. Paul even said, "My one prayer is to know Him more intimately, to know the wonders of His resurrection." Says that in Philippians. But the New Living Bible says here, "Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth." Say that out loud. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. Say it again. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. Amen. You know, Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, he says, "For we walk by what? And not by sight." Well, we tend to live by sight, don't we? I like my flowers out front. When a good bloom is out, I like taking pictures of the flowers. Sometimes I'll spray it with a water hose gently so I can catch water droplets on them. And I'll work with the camera. You can fix your iPhone to do different kind of portrait settings, and it brings out the life and the colors of that flower that's incredible. And you know, sight can be a beautiful thing. Seeing that highway picture and realizing where it's leading, but realizing it looks like it's infinity. You need to have a perspective for your life that your eternity lies with the King. Your faith revolves around Him. Your ability to move mountains, to conquer problems, to vanquish circumstance, it all revolves around Him. See, that's the faith perspective. The Amplified Bible takes that simple verse, for we walk by faith and not by sight, and boy, and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, our perception is powerful. Your perception can make you or break you. It can make you or break you. In the middle of your greatest challenges in life, your perception is what sets you apart from the rest of the struggles of the world. You can see beyond everything. And although you needed to go to the bathroom real bad right there on the road, there was something moving about the moment, just looking as far as you could see, and it was endless. And I stopped and I thought for a minute as we were driving, I thought, thank God His love is endless. His mercy is endless. See, the faith perspective is the most powerful thing in your life. Your perception is powerful. It can break you in the middle of your greatest challenge if it's not focused on the right one. You know, two people can face the same storm. One can be crushed while the other grows stronger. What makes the difference? Well, a lot of times it's not the circumstance, but it's your perspective. It's your perspective. I've been around people that can be superly negative and just say the most negative things. And their perspective revolves around their flesh. Come on, amen or oh me? Wesley, come on, let's play Just As I Am. This is it. Your perspective can be really married to your flesh if you allow it. But God, we're supposed to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Amen. We're to walk by His Spirit and not by our flesh. Let's say it again. You're to walk by His Spirit and not by your flesh. Your spirit is eternal. That is what you should be building up every day. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Worshiping the Lord. Being in the Word. Because your perception is powerful. See, perception determines what you focus on. If all you see is the problem, fear will begin to take growth. If all you see is what you've lost, then discouragement will take root and it'll start bearing fruit. And it's not good fruit. But when you lift your eyes off of yourself and you remember that God still is faithful, hope arises, joy comes back, because your perspective of faith is what brings you supernatural strength in any given moment. But you've got to see through the faith perspective. Perception determines what we focus on. And I tell you what, when your faith is strengthened, you find the courage to keep moving forward. And y'all know I like trains. I was looking in my office at the Lionel trains. They actually have a Bluetooth camera in them. And when you run them, it'll take pictures and movie footage as you roll down the tracks on your layout. And it's really a cool thing. Smoke actually comes out of the stack. It's fun. But when you go to Chattanooga and you ride the real 40, the real ones, because those two trains I got, they actually run those trains down there in Chattanooga. And when you ride those trains and you stick your head out and the soot gets in your hair and you had to keep your sunglasses on or something, or the soot will get in your eyes. There's something mesmerizing about that. And after you get to where the turntable turns the train around, the turntable dates back to the Civil War. And you watch them turn that big old locomotive around and put it back on the track. I always like to go to the very end of the train on the way back and go step out. If they got the observation car, you can step out on the back side of it. Because the tunnel there at Missionary Ridge, that tunnel, it was built before the Civil War. And as you run through that tunnel, you're running through history. And it's something else. And if you have your camera and you're doing a movie footage of it, all of a sudden you start going through there and the light gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and then all of a sudden it opens back up. Even when you were at your lowest point, the light of His glory changed everything in your world. It changed the big picture that you see. See, the faith perspective is the most powerful thing you could ever live and walk and do. That's why speaking to the mountains is important. That is why you, having words of faith spoken from your mouth, can change the course of the history of your life. It can change everything that you see, everything that matters. Perception determines what you focus on. And when you do, let faith be your focus, it changes everything. That doesn't mean we deny reality. It means we refuse to let reality become greater than God. Can I say that again? Faith doesn't mean you deny reality. It means you refuse to let reality become greater than your God. Because His promises and His word, whew, that, my friends, is perspective. Point, counterpoint. Amen. You know, when the 12 spies saw the land, 10 of them saw giants, and they said, "We can't." They said, "We can't." But the giants believed. But the two that saw the giants, the two other spies, they believed that, "Yes, we can. God can." Their perception determined their response. Your perception determines your response. Their perception determined their response, and their response determined their future. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning, your perception will determine your future. Amen. Are you here? Your perception will determine your future. Remember what the scripture says. If your words always shape your perspective and shape your future, then you got to remind yourself of Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the what? Power of your tongue. That thing under your mouth, under your nose, is a deadly weapon, according to the book of James. You need to pay attention to what you're letting run out that mouth of yours. Maybe you need to get a bar of soap out like your mama used to do and wash your mouth out. Her mama did that to us, didn't you? I'll never forget the jerking soap coming in my mouth over and over and over. I didn't learn real fast. I'm thankful my mother beat me like a government mule. Gave me perspective. I mean, had your parents give you some perspective when you were growing up, right? Come on. You know, death and life are in the power of your tongue. And what you love, that'll be what you eat. Because your words are powerful. They not only reveal what's in your heart, but also what influences your perspective, your attitude, and your faith. I think too often we speak our negative perspective. We give it precedence over the word. And too often we confess our fears we give our fears precedence over the word. Remember, God watches over his word to perform it, but you'd rather speak your flesh than his word. Because that's what you're doing when you speak your fear. You're speaking your flesh. You're basically saying, Lord, I know better. I don't care what you said. Say, I didn't say that. Well, what are you doing by saying what you're saying? Remember, Paul said to Timothy, he says, you train yourself to be spiritually fit. He said, godliness is profitable in all things because it's got a promise in this life and in the life that's yet to come. That's perspective. We can't speak things into existence apart from God. We can agree with what he's already declared about us, or we can disagree. But often, we speak our negative perspective, we confess our fears, our failures, and our frustrations instead of his word and his promises. Folks, positive confessions are not about denying reality, but they're about affirming God's truth in the midst of reality. And when challenges arise, because how many of you know challenges are going to arise, right? Isn't that good news today? My God, that's the best news I heard all day. Woo! Challenges are coming. But you know what? I'm affirming the truth of the word in the midst of my reality. And when challenges arise, I'm going to confess God is my refuge and my strength. Won't you say that? Say, my God is my refuge and my strength. You know, when fear is knocking on your door, what you going to say? I'm going to say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Won't you say that one? My God has not given me a spirit of fear. He's given me power, love, and a sound, well-balanced, and undisturbed mind. That's what the Amplified says. Some people, y'all, you ain't balanced. There's something wrong with you. If you're not speaking the word, you get out of balance. You get out of whack. Like Brother Hagin said, you're the cow at the wrong gate. You don't know what to do. If you operate in the flesh, your perspective will be lost. If you operate in the word, your perspective will be faith. And Jesus said, if you speak to any circumstance, you'll move it. What you going to do today? See, when I feel weak, I can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you say that with me today? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. You see, folks, in closing here, the faith perspective grows when our words align with His Word. And as we continually confess His Word and His promises, that's the part in Romans where your mind is becoming renewed. You're becoming more in line with His plan, His purpose, His pursuits. See, our hearts are encouraged, and our focus, our perspective, shifts from the problem to the provider. That's perspective. How you see it, how you look at it. Amen. See, the enemy's going to always try to shape your perception before your circumstances change. He's going to try to get you to look at all the problems, to look at what's bad. He'll keep you focused on what the news says rather than the word. He'll keep you focused on everything else. But it's his promises. It's his word. It's our minds being renewed, our hearts being encouraged, and our focus, our perspective that takes us to the provider, the source, instead of operating in the flesh. If the devil can cause you, if the enemy can cause you or convince you that you're defeated, you'll live defeated. Especially when God has already made a way, even through trial, even if you don't see it yet. If you keep listening to what the enemy says, what your flesh is telling you, you won't get past go. You won't collect the $200. God's made you a way of escape from any problem you have, any situation. You just need to have the faith perspective. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, you today, you need to make yourself firmly aware that you need to guard your perception. Amen. If you'll read through scriptures, there's imagery in the scriptures like artwork, like a photograph that gives you perception that changes everything. Y'all ever watch the Andy Griffith Show?
Yes.
Do you remember when the movie producer came to town in the earlier episodes? I remember when Andy was on the streets and he started doing this, and he asked that guy, says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm wanting to see what it looks like in the camera lens." Well, I'm asking you, just like on Andy, maybe you need to take your camera lens, so to speak. Opie was doing it, Ambie was doing it. And maybe you need to focus on the Word and get the right perspective. You need to ask the Lord to help you see past your rainy day and Monday. You need to ask the Lord to help you see past your circumstances. Instead of looking through your eyes of fear, you look through the eyes of faith. Faith doesn't ignore the facts. It just refuses to give the facts the final word. Keep your trust where it belongs. Keep it in Jesus. Guard your perception. Why? Because your perception has the power to shape your attitude, your decisions, your peace, and ultimately, your destiny. Or if I could be so bold, shape your history. Because see, one day they're going to look back on your legacy. And how will they describe your perspective? That matters. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads with me. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the perspective of faith. Oh, the perspective of your word. Thank you, Lord. It's important we guard our perceptions because, Lord, you want to shape our attitudes, our decisions, and give us peace and take us on a path that helps us walk in our destiny. Lord, like it says in Isaiah, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the path, walk in it." Lord, I just thank you that this morning, each one of us, Lord, we realize how important it is that we set our minds on things that are above. Not on the things of the flesh, not on earthly things, but things of the Spirit. Heavenly things. Lord, I thank you that we seek the higher things. And just like Paul told the church in Corinth, he said, "Walk by faith and not by sight." Lord, I thank you that each one of us, we have a faith perspective. That we see your plan, your purpose, your pursuit for us. Oh, we thank you for that. You know, this morning I feel led to do this. And I want to do this a little different. I'd thought about laying hands on anybody that needed it. But if you would like that, you can come up at the end of the service. I don't want to keep us too long. But I'd like for all of us to stand up at our seats there. And I hear the Holy Ghost saying, perspective, perspective, perspective. You must have perspective of me. For if you lose the perspective of me, you will never fulfill the history that I've called you to fulfill. For I have a plan and a purpose and a destiny that I have called each one of you to. But if we allow everything else to take control of our lives and to take control of how you're looking at things, you won't hear or see me when it matters the most. So close your eyes, says the Lord. Take a deep breath. Count to 10, 15, or 20. Be calm. be resolute, but focus on me and my word. For I've opened a door of blessing to you. I have opened doors of opportunity for you. But if you let your perspective of flesh and fear hold you, you'll never step through to where I have called you. So don't allow things to keep you in bondage, but allow the voice of my Spirit to lead the way. And just like the ones in your world would say, follow me. Just like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm telling you this morning, says the Lord, have the perspective to follow me and my word. For I will take you places that you've only dreamed of. And I will show you things that will change your life forever if you'll just let yourself fall in line with my plan, with my word, and do that which I have spoken. For I'll watch over every bit of it to make sure it's done just for you, says the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And Lord, right